The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
I hope that as you sung those words, you mean business. We can declare Christ's rule and reign. Please have a seat. When I wear this dress, my staff know that it's a she means business day today. This is a frock-worthy occasion, as we call it. I wear this dress because sometimes you just need to show up in the dress so people know you mean business. And today I do. I have a message that I'm calling the mother of all Mother's Day messages. So I think it's a frock-worthy occasion to put this dress on. The reason I'm calling it the mother of all Mother's Day messages is because it comes as a miracle. Rod sent me, sends out the preaching roster, and I, scan down the list for the year and Mother's Day, and I just immediately got back. Are you serious? My track record of preaching on Mother's Day is epic fail. And the reason is because I have issues with Mother's Day and have had issues with Mother's Day for a long time. And I said to Rod, I don't want to do this. The last time I preached was 3 years ago at the Rocks Church, and I love Daniel Intergy as a good friend, and he has never invited me back. awkward. And so I had actually decided I'm never going to preach on Mother's Day again because I have so many issues about Mother's Day. And then I said to Rod, but if you trust me, I'll do some business with God and I'll see if I can knock this on the head. And so I then committed to pray. I mean, I've been praying about this stuff for years, but I committed to pray again about it. And a few days later, the Lord dropped this message into my heart that just set me free. And he helped me to talk to him about these things that I've been hanging on to for some of them for 25 years. You know, in John 8, where Jesus says, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. They struck me in a fresh way, those words, not as a memory verse or a verse you read in Scripture, but as the living words of Jesus. Jesus says to you and to I, if the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed. And if you hear nothing else today, if you're hanging on to some pain, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And I'm praying that you find new freedom today if you're carrying or holding on to things. The second thing was I gave God a big challenge and I said, I will only preach on Mother's Day. If you give me a message that I can preach, I can look every single person in the eye and say, this is for you. It's not a Mother's Day message just for mothers. It's got to be something I can preach to everybody. And that's what the Lord's given me, which is why I'm calling it the mother of all Mother's Day messages, because it truly is a message, I think, for everybody. Now, you may be surprised to know that the church through the ages has actually asked a question. The church has asked lots of questions. And the question is this. Who's your mother? Who's your mother? The answer will probably surprise you. Cyprian of Carthage was a great bishop of the early church. He was converted in the year 246. And he said this. You cannot have God for your father unless you have the church for your mother. Interesting, isn't it? Now you might think, why would someone say that? Well, because the early church, they were very concerned. You know, they like we do, you know how we have the kingdom life plan. Those of you who are part of our church, you'll know about our kingdom life plan. You won't find the kingdom life plan in the Bible. But it's our way of taking a whole, of looking at the word of God and saying, and asking the question, how do we understand ourselves as Christians? How do we grow in our faith? So we have a kingdom life plan. And in the same way, the early church asked this question, who are we? And they came up with this answer, well, we are like a mother. The church is like a mother. Because it was the church who loved the world extravagantly. Like Tanya was talking about, it's extravagant love. That's how their first Christians changed the world. They picked up the babies off the doorsteps and cared for them. They cared for the sick and the dying when no one else would. They gave up their whole lives. They understood themselves to be like a mother to people. 100 years later, St. Augustine said the similar thing. The church is really the mother of Christians. You might think, well, that sounds like a very Catholic idea, Tanya Watson, and before you burn me as a heretic at the stake, let me just say it's not just a Catholic idea. This is a church idea that is consistent through the ages of the church. And in fact, John Calvin, who was a great Protestant reformer, also spoke about the church as the mother. He said, well, he described the church as the mother of all Christians. He said that every Christian needs to relate to the church as a mother. The church is like a mother because it conceives new believers. Think about conception. The church is like a mother because we long to have children. We long to have children. We pray and we long to have children. And so the church is like a mother. Calvin talks about the connection between the womb of the church and the action of the Holy Spirit and the Word. And that's what creates life. Isn't that gorgeous? That the church is like a womb where the Holy Spirit, through the action of the Word, creates life. And so the church not only conceives new Christians, but the church also gives birth to new Christians. We have this great privilege of sharing the message of life in Jesus. And when people come to faith, it is like giving birth as new people are incorporated into the body of Christ. Calvin also said that the church is like a mother because the church nourishes Christians in the faith. Have you felt nourished this morning? I don't know if you were here early enough to see what the guys did with these letters, but that was beautiful. Thank you. And the worship, it's nourishing. Having communion together is nourishing. It's reminding us of who we are. We've been saved by the blood of Jesus. We live a free, unbound life. It's nourishing when we encourage one another in the faith. He actually said this, the church nourishes us at her breast. That'll change your attitude when you come to church next week, won't it? The church nourishes us at her breast. The church is like a mother because the church gives care and guidance to us. Not just when we're young, but for the whole of our lives, the church gives care and guidance. We are never too old to learn new things from the Word of God and through God's people. To benefit from receiving advice from the community of God's people as we learn how to live in Christ. Care and guidance. The church also is the agent of forgiveness and salvation in the world. We learn from our mother how to forgive, don't we? And if you don't, well, let me tell you a story. I've always said to my kids, it's a given in life. My grandparents screwed up my parents screwed up me. I'm going to screw you up, but don't worry, because we put money in the bank for counselling when you need it. Seriously, I have got money in the bank. What I didn't actually communicate to my kids was this. There is money for counselling and you're probably going to need it at some stage if they haven't accessed it already. But really, actually, I should have also said to them, and when it comes time, you need to forgive me for being your mother and for the damage that I've done to you, and you're going to need Jesus to help you do that. It's said of people that we actually don't become mature people until we recognise that our parents have screwed us up, we're going to screw up our own kids, and we need to forgive. The world is full of people who are immature because they have not forgiven their parents. We need to forgive one another, but we need Christ to help us to forgive people, don't we? Because these are some of the most primary relationships, and we are damaged people. And it isn't easy, but we do need to forgive. And the church helps us. You know, we stand together and we say, yeah, it's tough to forgive other people, but we stand together and we learn to forgive and offer salvation. And the last thing Calvin says is he said many things, but the last thing I'm going to talk about, the church cultivates godliness and piety. You know, the church teaches us how to live like Jesus, and how to live with Jesus and how to live for Jesus in the world. So for Calvin, seeing the church as the mother of all Christians was absolutely fundamental for a proper understanding of the Christian life and the church. So who's your mother? Well, we are. We are each other's mother as the church. The church is the mother who makes Christians. We go out and make disciples. You know, that's our, as Rod said, that's our mission. We want to help people find and follow Jesus. So we become like a mother to help people find and follow Jesus. But if the church makes Christians, the church is also made a mother by the fact that it does have Christians. Do you get the difference? So the church is the mother who makes Christians, but the church is also a mother because it has Christians. In the same way that you can't be a mother unless you've actually had a child. We have many, many generations of children. Just look around. It's your family this morning. In Christ, this is our family. We are all sons and daughters of the Most High God. So I was thinking, you know, we usually have a special morning tea on Mother's Day. Do we have a special morning tea today? And usually it's just for mothers. Go for it, guys. Happy Mother's Day. In Jesus' name, you're the part of the church. You can celebrate morning tea. Because you may not ever physically bear children, but in Christ, every single one of us has that wonderful opportunity and joy to have children in the name of Jesus. Happy Mother's Day. I'm intrigued by the writings of Pope Francis, the current Catholic Pope. He's also been talking about the church as a mother in the last few years. He says this, "It is also our mission to go forth and share in the maternity of the church by bringing others to a life of faith. And so we ask ourselves, do we love the church as our mother who helps us to grow as Christians? And how do we go beyond ourselves in order to bring Christ to others? As faithful children, let us bring the light of Christ to the ends of the earth." So on Mother's Day today, we're thinking about the church as a mother, it's a great question to ask. Do we love the church? Do we love the church not as a thing that we come to, but as a living, breathing body of people? A living, breathing body of people. We're intimately connected through the blood of Christ. This is why we also need to understand forgiveness. Because if the church is a mother, just like I'm a mother who hurts my children intentionally and unintentionally, many of us know what it is to be hurt by the church, don't we? So the church is our mother today. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. If you're carrying hurt and pain from the church as a mother, as a mother of the church, I say I'm sorry. Can you please forgive me, forgive us for where you've been hurt? Please let it go. In Jesus' name, let it go. The church needs to be healthy, and we can only be healthy in so much as we love the church. Christ died and gave himself up for the church. And that's us, that's you and me. Do we love the church? If we don't love the church, then we're going to avoid introducing people to the family, aren't we? We're not going to bring them home for dinner. If we have angst about the church, it's going to be very difficult for us to talk about Jesus, our Saviour, and the life that we have and the freedom that we know. If we are bound up, it should not have taken me 25 years to deal with my mother issues. You need to let that stuff go, because it's going to be hard to help other people find and follow Jesus if we've got too many mother issues about the church. Happy Mother's Day. We should be excited today about being the church, about the life that we have in Jesus. And when we're excited, we're not going to be able to stop telling people about Jesus, the good news, and welcoming them into our family, into this family. Do we respect and value the church? We need to release and love, forgive the church. The second question Pope Francis asks is this, how do we go beyond ourselves to bring others to Christ? He said this, "The work of the Holy Spirit renders the church fecund." Now, there's a word you haven't heard in church for a while, maybe never, fecund. What on earth does that mean? Well, it means this, it's producing or capable of producing offspring in abundance. Prolific, fruitful, very productive. Very productive. Well, in my role as with Churches of Christ, I get to look after and be with and support 65 churches who are just like us. And I need to say this morning, this is a serious part of the message, if this is a frock-worthy moment. There is, I think, a crisis of fertility in the church. There's a crisis of infertility in the church, not only in our state, in our country, in the Western world. A crisis of a declining birth rate. We are not giving birth to enough people, followers of Jesus. I know something about infertility. Having struggled with infertility, we were married nearly 10 years before we had our first child. For those of you who are struggling with infertility, we're standing with you today. And God bless you for being in church. It's the hardest day to be in church on Mother's Day when you desperately wanted to have a child for whatever reason and you can't. God bless you for being here today. We want to stand with you. I learned some things through my years of infertility as I desperately begged God for a child. And I searched the scriptures to try and find some answers about how I would cope if I never had the children that I wanted. And so I learned some things that I think help us to actually understand how can we deal with the crisis of infertility in the church. The first story comes from Sarah in Genesis 11 to 23. Sarah, who was one of the most beautiful women in the world, but she couldn't have a child. And then God promised and she got busy because she thought, well, if I can't have a child, I can certainly make arrangements so that I can have a child in my family. And so she took matters into her own hands and gave her servant Hagar to Abram, her husband, and Hagar got pregnant and had a child. And as I think about that story, how Sarah got busy as a way of coping with her infertility, and I look at the church and I think, I wonder how much we just get busy doing church, busy with stuff that we can do as a way of masking the pain that we're not having children. And are we trying to take things into our own hands, or are we waiting for the promise of God with faith and trust? It's really interesting when you look at Sarah's story, and particularly later on when she's, you know, nearly 90, when the Lord visits Sarah and Abram under the trees and God repeats his promise to Sarah, by this time next year you will have a son. And she laughs. How can this be? I'm 90. He's over 100. How can this be? And God says, why did you laugh? Is this too difficult for me? That promise of God, I think, has been a promise declared over our churches and this church. This is what I pray about all the time. Our team prays about this all the time. By this time next year, the churches will be full of new believers. I've been preaching that for 3 years and I'm not going to stop preaching that because I believe it. And I'm asking you as church, as a mother today, to believe that. Do we desperately long for people to be saved, to know the freedom that we have in Jesus? By this time next year, this church could be full of new believers. Happy Mother's Day. Can you imagine that next year? Right to the back of this building, full of new believers. There's no reason why that can't happen. Not because we get busy and do more stuff, but because we believe what God has promised. I'm absolutely convinced that Jesus wants people saved, aren't you? So let's believe it, because that's what Sarah did. It wasn't until she released in her, that revelation of God that released her to trust in God. And he delivered on his promise. They had a son. We need a personal revelation. If you haven't had a personal revelation of that, if you've got doubt, acknowledge the doubt. Doubt's a great thing. I love it when I doubt, because it forces me to ask God, God, you need to help me here because I can't do this. I can't share my faith. I'm too afraid. I don't know what to say. I don't know anybody. I'm embarrassed. Talk to God about that and trust him and enjoy the miracle about what he'll do in and through you in your life. The second woman who struggled with infertility that I want to look at is Rachel. I find Rachel's story incredibly troubling. Talk about a dysfunctional family. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, dysfunction upon dysfunction. And then you've got Rachel in here. She says an amazing thing to her husband. Give me children or I will die. There's a desperate passion about Rachel. Give me children or I will die. I know what that feels like. I never quite said to Neil, give me children or I will die. But I felt like that. There were days where I could not, you know, I'm so troubled by infertility. It was so hard to be a part of the church. I remember one Mother's Day where there was 15 new babies up here on the platform. And I ran out the church. I couldn't do it. And I'm pleading with God, give me children or I will die. A desperate, desperate passion. It was quite a prophetic statement for Rachel to say that, give me children or I will die. She did die in childbirth. It's not actually a healthy story, that one of Rachel. But as I think about the church, and as I think about the church as a mother, when was the last time I heard a church with that desperate passion? Give me children or I will die. I've met with some churches in the last few weeks who are dying. It's the saddest thing. And I weep for those churches. And I weep for them when they say it's too hard. We think we're going to close, or we think we're not going to last. And that may be true. You know, it may be true. But part of me is going, but when do we stop just dying? And when do we get this desperate passion that says, God, give me children or we will die? It's not God's will for the church to die. One church may close, but the church will not go. But the point is, as a church, we're nearly 70 now, over 70? Do we want to keep going? Give me children or I will die. It's a desperate passion. Perhaps a healthy way to have a desperate passion is like Hannah in 1 Samuel. She also experienced this desperate passion. She was different to Rachel, though, because she didn't go to her husband and say, give me children or I will die. She went to the Lord and pleaded for a child. In 1 Samuel 15, Hannah said, she was talking to Eli the priest, I am a woman hard used. I haven't been drinking, because Eli thought she was drunk praying. The only thing I've been doing is pouring out my heart, pouring it out to God. Don't think that I'm a bad woman. It's because I'm so desperately unhappy and I'm in such pain that I've stayed here so long praying. She poured out her desperate passion to the Lord. Eli answered her and said, go in peace and may the God of Israel give you what you have asked of him. And she said, think well of me and pray for me. And then she went her way. She ate heartily and her face was radiant. Up before dawn, they worshipped God and returned home to Ramah. Elkanah slept with Hannah, his wife, and God, I love this bit, God began making the necessary arrangements in response to what she had asked. I told you, PG rating over this message. This is Eugene Peterson, the message. What a great way of saying what happened after that. What intrigued me with the story is Hannah went to the Lord with this desperate passion and she went away. Her face was radiant and she could eat. When you are so upset you cannot eat, something changed in the temple that day. What was it? She trusted God. Something changed in her. She trusted God. And God made the necessary arrangements in response to what she had asked. She asked and she believed. When Pope Francis wrote those words, the work of the Holy Spirit renders her the church fecund. In response to the Holy Spirit, the church as a personal act says, I believe. We believe. This is what I want to get out of this message, this desperate longing. I'm praying that we will have a desperate longing that we take to the Lord where we say, we believe. We believe this church will be full of new believers. We believe that the church generally will be full of new believers. And then we live in and out of that belief. We don't have to make it happen. We simply have to trust the God of the promise, don't we? That means we live in response to God. When you look for opportunities, ask God to give you the opportunities, the eyes to see what's right in front of you. Today, when you go and be with your families, with your friends, trust that God will give you the opportunities to share the hope that you have in Jesus. Trust that God will make the necessary arrangements for what we have asked for to happen. In Luke 8, we read the parable of Jesus where he says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. You know, you could read this story and say he was a really silly farmer when you go and you can read it at home. But, you know, the farmer goes out to sow his seed and he just sows the seed everywhere. And you go, well, what a crazy farmer was he. Actually, I think that's directly what we're called to do. We're just called to go out and sow seed. Don't worry about whether people are going to listen or not. we trust, we just go out and sow the seed, be prepared to share the hope that we have in Jesus and trust in God to make the necessary arrangements so that new life and new birth will happen. So how am I going to wrap this message up this morning? I simply want you to imagine next time, this time next year, Mother's Day 2016. Imagine this church chock-a-block full of people who have come to faith in the last 12 months. What are we going to do about that? Well, together this morning, I'm asking us to do three things. Number one, that we ask God. We ask God with a desperate passion. God, we want to see this church full of new believers. We want to see our family saved. We want to see our friends saved. We want to see the people that we work with saved and set free from the power of sin and death. Desperate passion. And then we want to make ourselves available to sow seed. Just go out there and be a follower of Jesus and sow seed. And the third thing is to trust that God will make the necessary arrangements in response to what we have asked for. Trust the Lord to make the necessary arrangements in response to what we have asked for. Amen. Happy Mother's Day.